This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Robinhood is the trade stocks for free app that has been the next phase of what's called the democratization of personal finance, with lots of younger people using the platform to start buying and selling. But Robinhood stock fell 7% yesterday after the big payment system PayPal said it may start a rival online brokerage. Plus, the Securities and Exchange Commission chief revealed in an interview that he thinks the way Robinhood makes money by giving dibs on transactions to wholesale brokers is a conflict of interest. Meanwhile, other moves to give the people the financial tools used by the very rich are raising questions. You may say, how come only rich people can do hedge funds, private equity, or venture capital? Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell looked into this. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So if these more exotic ways of investing became open to more people, you didn't have to just be super rich, I guess more people will get access to those kind of fancy returns, you'd think.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to get access to the fancy returns. At least that's my takeaway, looking at a recent study by two economists. Now, it has this bland title, Asset Allocation and Returns in the Portfolios of the Wealthy. But David, really, it's an intriguing paper with data on the investment portfolios and returns of roughly 60,000 wealthy investors.
It, for instance, in this section of the paper, looked at people who are wicked rich and people who are pretty darn wealthy. And what did they find? These are all people who had access to private equity, hedge funds, and all that stuff.
So the wealthy investors, they did significantly better than their less wealthy peers. Now, David, the less wealthy peers, they had assets of $3 to $10 million. But when they looked at how they did in the hedge funds, how they did in private equity, and how they did in venture capital, the less wealthy did less well compared to those that, you know, are living off $100 million or more.
By the way, that paper you were telling me showed that even the wealthiest who did better, risk-adjusted average return was less than 4%. I mean, it's not like astronomical.
No, it's not astronomical. But I think there is another point that I want to draw out of this that really deals with how individual investors should approach this democratization of finance theme. And it was an analogy drawn by Timothy Taylor. He's an economist at McAllister College. And he said, look, back in the 1990s, you had these big institutions like Harvard and Stanford. You know, they put a lot of money into alternative investments and they did really well. And so a lot of smaller colleges and universities, smaller endowments, they said, hey, we can do this. And of course, Wall Street was selling them the product and they didn't do very well. Again, there was this big gap. And what it comes down to, David, is when you have a lot of money, you get access to the best. But the other thing is you also can build up this infrastructure to really monitor and analyze these investments.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell in St. Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.